Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 41. Comes the third time and says to them, "Sleep on now, take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man delivered up into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us go. Behold, he that delivers me up has drawn nigh." John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 4. "And he must needs pass through Samaria. Comes therefore to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near to the land which Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now a fountain of Jacob's was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with the way he had come, sat just as he was at the fountain." It was about the sixth hour. Woman comes out of Samaria to draw water. Jesus says to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city that they might buy provisions, and so on. And then in Hebrews, Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. "And for as much as it is the portion of men once to die, and after this judgment, thus the Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear to those that look for him the second time without sin for salvation." The Duke of Wellington, or the Iron Duke as he was known, a great military leader and eventually Prime Minister of this country, was known as never being late for an appointment. Never being late for an appointment. We have many appointments in life. Some we treat seriously and are in good time for, and others we sometimes let slip by, and they've got to be rescheduled. In the Gospel, I learn that God has decreed that every man, you and I, and every man in this world has an appointment with his son. I don't know whether the Duke of Wellington kept that appointment. If he didn't, that was one appointment he was late for. Dear friend, I wouldn't like you to be late for the appointment that God has decreed that you will have with Christ. Because if the Duke of Wellington missed that appointment in the day of God's grace, he will yet keep it. But he will not meet Christ as a Savior. He will keep that appointment with Christ as judge. As I've said, there are many appointments in life, and some we reschedule, some get cancelled. But this is an appointment that the Gospel brings to you that cannot be rescheduled. The opportunity to keep that appointment is now. Now is the day of salvation. God is saying to you tonight, this is the opportunity for your appointment with my son. And if you keep that appointment and believe in the Lord Jesus and accept him as your Savior, you'll come in to great blessing. The blessing of peace and joy as believing on Christ. But I want first of all to tell you a little about some of the appointments that the Lord Jesus has kept, and some he will keep. This first scripture tells me about an appointment that I couldn't keep. It was an appointment that he only could keep. The situation is the Garden of Gethsemane. We read earlier, we'd have seen him in great agony. He says, "My soul is full of grief, even unto death." He was anticipating an appointment that lay ahead of him. And then he comes to the point where we read, "It is enough, the hour
is come. What hour was that? Who was the appointment with? Was it with Caiaphas, the high priest? No. Was it with Pilate and Pilate's judgment hall? No. Was it with Herod? No. The place of the appointment was the cross of Calvary. And his appointment was with his God when he offered himself as the sin offering that would enable God to judge sin once for all and offer an appointment for you and me to receive the Lord Jesus into our hearts as our personal Savior. If sinners ever were to know the depth of love divine, blessed Savior. All Calvary's weakness and its woe, blessed Savior, must be thine. What an appointment to keep. Nobody else could keep it. Yes, there had been many mighty men of Scripture that had gone before. Not one of them could keep that appointment at Calvary's cross. Only one blessed, sinless, spotless one. And he kept it. You think of him saying here, the hour is come. An hour that was dated in the annals of eternity wasn't dated in man's calendar. But it was thought of in the counsels of God. The same as the hour when he was born, when the fullness of time had come. Think of him, that babe in Bethlehem's manger. But now, years after, 33 and a half years, and now the hour is come. He said several times in the Gospels, mine hour is not yet come. But here he says, the hour is come. Was there no possibility that this hour would pass away? There was no possibility. If my sins were going to find a provision so that I could be cleared of them, he had to undertake the solemnity of that hour. Another one of our hymns, O solemn hour. Hour alone and solitary might, when God the Father's only Son expires, amazing sight. Lord of glory crucified, Lord of life himself has died. This was the hour that awaited him. He'd never been taken prisoner. I go to the Acts of the Apostles, I see Peter taken prisoner, set free, taken prisoner again. I see Paul taken prisoner, set free, taken prisoner again, and so on. No one could lay hands on my Savior until the hour was come. What a glorious person he is. And he's the one who's offered as your personal Savior tonight. But what an hour. The hour of Calvary's shame and woe. Yes, I see the hours leading up to it, the trial, the testing, and I see perfection in Jesus as we are reminded this afternoon. What will happen in the solemn hour, the hour of his appointment with his God, the hour when he himself would be made sin? Said it before, you know, 3 hours. We look at the clock, we see 3 hours going round, and it means very little to us. For him who was sinless, that blessed Holy One, the 3 hours of forsaking on the cross would have been like an eternity, because he was always in perfect communion with his God. But this was an appointment that he must keep. He came to keep it, and keep it he will. He says, arise, let us go. Who will stop him?
Will anyone restrain him?
No.
Why? Because love, divine love, demanded that he would keep that appointment in order that you and I would be free from our sins and that forever.
I said, you and I couldn't keep that appointment. We would fall under the stroke of God's judgment.
He went there to keep that appointment, and he bore the judgment that was due to me because I've placed my faith in him. He bore the judgment of God on sin itself. Think of the dark river of sin, the ever-expanding river of sin since it came into the world. And then all was headed up on the cross of Calvary. And there he offered himself the perfect sin offering. And God meted out, measured out his righteous judgment on sin on the head of Jesus. Isn't it amazing that this was the way that divine love took in order to bring a message of salvation to men and women far away from God, men and women in their sins who could do nothing to sort out their own situation. And so I look at him suffering there at Calvary. Silence of these 3 hours. Suffering of these 3 hours. The sorrow of it. I can understand him saying, my soul is full of grief, even unto death in Gethsemane. What was he anticipating? Was he anticipating the cruelty that men would meet out on him? No. No. What was he anticipating? He was anticipating that he, that blessed man, would be forsaken by his God. You know, that was suffering that we can never fathom. But as I come to trust him, as you come to trust him, you will love him all the more that he went there and met that appointment and met it righteously, that you and I might have the opportunity of being righteously cleared from our sins. As I said, it was an appointment not measured by man's calendar. It was an appointment arranged in the counsels of God, given up by the determinate counsel of God. What a matter! And there at Calvary, he bore the judgment in order that you and I might go free. Having exhausted it, it is finished. The cry from the cross, having exhausted it, it is finished. He delivered up his spirit and expired. What a solemn moment. The one who was none less than the creator of the worlds, bearing as man what was due to God's claims as far as sin was concerned, bearing it completely and bearing it triumphantly, so that there was nothing left for you and me to do but accept by faith God's offer of blessing and the preaching. No matter how young you are, dear friend, the offer is for you, for your heart. You can keep your appointment that God has decreed you will keep. You can keep it tonight. And if you keep it tonight, your soul will find blessing now and blessing in eternity. I read about the woman in John 4. What can I say that hasn't been said before? Probably nothing. But I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus kept an appointment with this woman. It's wonderful. He kept an appointment with this woman. That day, he had an appointment at Sychar's well with this woman. Who was she? A sinner of the city. A great sinner of the city. And you know, the Lord Jesus is still keeping appointments with sinners. He'll keep an appointment with you. He's not at Sychar's well now. He's not sitting there but he'll come alongside you in order to keep that appointment with you. So he sat there. He was there first. That struck me as I was reading this passage. He was there first, and we see him sitting, waiting at that well. Isn't that wonderful? The one who we thought of earlier today, the mighty Creator, waiting for what? For a woman coming out of the city in the heat of the day when no other would be visiting that well.
We see him described here as wearied with the way he had come.
Disciples had left him to go into the city to buy provisions. They'd seen his weariness. When they come back, one of the things they ask is, has anyone given him anything to eat? You know, I think the Lord Jesus enjoyed this conversation with this woman. And I'll tell you something, if you're interested in meeting him as Savior and enter into conversation with him, he'll enjoy that as well. Because as the story unfolds, and I didn't read it all, you know, what happens is that the burdens that this woman has, they gradually rolled away. And where there was disturbance, where there was despair, what's brought into this woman's soul, this life and peace and joy. And that's what comes into the soul of the person who comes and keeps their appointment with Christ. She had an unexpected appointment. She didn't know that that was the day she was going to meet the man of Sychar's well. He knew. Wonderful, you know. She didn't know that the goodness of God was drawing her to that well. She didn't know that the Father was drawing her to Christ. But that was what was happening. Oh, tonight, in this world that is benighted by sin, that God in his goodness would draw persons to the Savior, that they tonight would have their appointment with Christ. You know, there's all kinds of persons who have to do with Christ. I read a story the other week of the atheist who was a frequent rejecter of any pleading in the gospel, any pleading by Christ. And this day he was offered a Bible by a Christian worker, and he refused it and kept refusing it, and the Christian kept offering it until, out of sheer frustration and wanting to get rid of the believer, he says, "I'll take it, but I'll use it to mix the pages to make cigarettes, and I'll smoke it. I'll burn it." Took it, and true to his word, day after day, he would tear pages out of the Bible and roll them in cigarettes, smoke them. One day, as he was tearing a page off the Bible, a verse of the Bible just looked out at him. And he stopped and looked at it. And as he read it, it was that lovely verse that's the center of the gospel. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life." And you know, a shaft of the love of God entered that hardened heart, and he came to know the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. The woman at the well, the man who was the heavy smoker, the atheist, whatever the situation is, an appointment can be kept with the man of Sychar's well, and the result of that appointment can be a change in life, a life-changing experience, just like what this woman had. She even leaves the water pot that she came with. Went away into the city. "Come see a man who told me all things I'd ever done. Isn't he the Christ? Oh, dear friend, let us have a renewal of that appointment with the Savior tonight, that as we were reminded yesterday, some of us, we may taste of that living water. We may feel it as a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Life changed. Plants in this woman's soul the knowledge of her God, not a knowledge gleaned from the tradition of old, but a knowledge gleaned from the words of Christ. And so thrilled is she that she goes away into the city. And the result is that a whole city is moved to come in contact and keep their appointment with Christ. I move on to the final scripture, Hebrews 9. Appointment with death and judgment. This is our appointment. It is the portion, for as much as it is the portion of men once to die. That's solemn, you know. Portion of men once to die. Dear young one, you don't think of death when you're young, but you begin to think of it in later years. Just less than 3 weeks ago, three young people up at Cullen went away for a run in the car. Two natural sisters, just in the late teens, a young man of 22. They never returned from that run in the car. Met with a tragic accident. Portion of men wants to die. I can't remove that portion from you, from myself. But then it says, and after this judgment, are you prepared to keep an appointment with Christ in judgment? For the one who trusts the finished work of Christ, For the one who believes in the shed blood of Jesus as the basis on which his sins or her sins can be eternally forgiven, the appointment for judgment is cancelled. Cancelled. You can write over it, cancelled. But what awaits the sinner who dies in their sins is appointment with judgment. How solemn, how solemn. The day of grace has been a wonderful day, you know, ushered in by the glad tidings of God's grace, and grace is still saying, yet there is room. What a story is the story of the gospel of God's grace, and it's still going out, and it's coming to your door tonight. Won't you stretch out the hand of faith and say, yes, I want that blessing tonight? If not, the portion of men wants to die after this judgment. That's very solemn. You think of this world we're in, you know, going on to judgment. That's what Scripture tells me. The Lord Jesus said these words. Now is the judgment of this world. It's being passed, not executed yet. God is going to see that the execution of that judgment will take place. But presently, or at the moment, we are in the day of God's grace. Judgment held up, soon to be revealed. But at the moment, it's the day of God's grace, the day of opportunity for men and women, for the sinner, to come and find peace in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus the Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear to those that look for him. What an appointment. Don't you think Christ is looking forward to this? I think he is. Looking forward to the answer to Calvary's cross, the answer to his shame and suffering. He's offered, who's once offered to bear the sins of many, shall appear to those that look for him the second time. Are you amongst those that are looking for Christ? I suppose this really refers to the day of his public glory, his public vindication, when he shall appear the second time without sin for salvation. He appeared once at the consummation of the ages to put away sin. The matter of sin has been settled once and for all at Calvary's cross. When he appears then, it will be a display of his public glory. What a day. He has another appointment to keep. God has set a day when he's going to judge the habitable world in righteousness. Who by? By the man whom he's appointed. You see, God, at the moment, the administration of the grace of God is in the hands of Christ. And he's administering it for your blessing and mine. But he's also put judgment into the hands of the Son as well. And the same hands that skillfully have meted out the story of God's grace, these same hands will mete out the righteous judgment of God. How solemn. But today is the day of grace. He's looking forward to this appointment, the appointment when he will come in his glory. But there's another appointment, you know, that every believer in the Lord Jesus is looking for. It's the appointment of meeting the Savior who's coming to take them home to these, out of this world, to these scenes of heavenly glory. That's the appointment that I, the preacher, and many here who've trusted in the Lord Jesus are looking forward to. An appointment to meet him in the air. The gospel tells me of an appointment at the mercy seat. There shall ye meet with me. I shall meet with you and speak with you. Mercy seats there, dear friend, in Christ, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. You and I can meet God in Jesus tonight by faith in the blood of Christ and have our sins forgiven and be eternally clear from judgment. But the meeting place, the meeting that we're really looking forward to, is to meet him in the air. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Let the heart of the believer in Christ beat fast at the prospect that the Savior who bore their sins on Calvary's tree, he's coming soon. There's one thing sure. If you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, you won't miss that appointment. Dead in Christ, how many there are stretching back through the centuries, the living in Christ, trusting in him now, at his voice, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Well, that's a fine note to finish the preaching on. Let me ask you, will you meet him in the air? Will you be ready for him when he comes? Friend, keep the appointment tonight. Make sure your sins are nailed there at the cross of Christ, are gone at the cross of Christ. And to make sure of that, put your trust in him, and you'll find that the burden of your sins is lifted from your conscience. You're justified before God. You can enter into the peace of the presence of God and enjoy the favor of God and the blessings that these bring. Well, may God add his blessing to the world for his name's sake.